Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr. This episode is another one written by Kathleen Height. She's about ready to take over entirely on the show, but right now she'll still alternate weeks with some other great writers. But I thought today we'd talk a little bit about this interesting time frame that this show is in. The show takes place in 1956, is when this series came out in radio. In 1952, Gunsmoke made its entry into radio and completely changed Westerns and radio at that point. Then a few years after that, in 1955, Gunsmoke came out in television and completely changed Westerns and television to be more adult, more psychologically driven, and so forth. So this is about a year after that. So in television, there's not too many adult Westerns at this point in 56. There is Gunsmoke, of course. There is Restless Gun, I think, was either out, or I think it maybe came out in the next year, 1957. Anyway, Restless Gun was based on Jimmy Stewart's Western radio program, The Six Shooter, that was came out in radio in 1953. Then the only other one I can think of is probably Wyatt Earp, The Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp, which was running right at the same time, came out right when Gunsmoke came out. It was another fairly adult Western and well done. They were frantically at this point looking at Westerns to put out. And this is when it seemed like every other show that was getting put on was a Western. And within a couple of years, by 1958, 1959, out of the top 30 shows, 25 of them were Westerns, which is pretty incredible. I don't know. It's kind of sad that Fort Laramie never came to television, because it seems like it's such a well-done show, it would do well in television. My guess is there's a number of reasons for this. One is when Raymond Burr was cast in Perry Mason, that sort of took the wind out of the sails of this radio show. Also, I don't know how successful it was as a radio show, but I do know it was well done and that it would be good in television. I think also the production value in television would be hard to match from the radio. I think having to have a fort and film within a fort most weeks could have been challenging, but on the other hand, if they could do it on F Troop for a comedy, you would think they could use the fort for a serious drama. The other thing I was going to point out, another pretty serious note here, is that have you noticed when you watch Westerns on television, the color of the boots worn by our heroes? I would put forth the argument that if you're going to be the cool hero on a television show, you need to wear a very light colored boot. Not just brown, but like tan and even more of a blonde colored boot. Because if you look at Little Joe's boots, those things are really blonde boots. They would get dirty really fast, I would think. And if you look at other boots, if you look at Heath, Lee Majors on Big Valley, his boots, ultra light colored boots. If you look at the Scout on Wagon Train, his boots, ultra light colored. It goes on and on and on. Well, and look at the boots of the Bounty Hunter, Steve McQueen, on Wanted Dead or Alive, right? That he's got ultralight boots as well. It is a common trait that you would give them light boots. If you have a black boot, you are a bad guy. And basically all the helpers to the good guy have light colored boots, tan, brown, but not as light colored as the main hero, our action hero on our TV show. I don't know why this was. I've just noticed it. I don't know if you've noticed it, but go ahead and look at the boots of the different actors on the different Western television shows, and you shall see there's a pattern. Anyway, it's 2020. It's nice to be here. We're still cooped up because of COVID-19. I hope you're all doing well and staying inside and staying away from others to try and stop this spread of this thing. And I hope you're enjoying the radio shows. I'm trying to bring them to you as steadily as I can so you have something to listen to. Without further ado, here is Kathleen Heights' script for Fort Laramie called Stagecoach from March 15th, 1956. Actually, it might be April. Anyway, whatever. See you next time.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Easy, boy. Feels good, don't it?
You got the whole day, Harrison?
Oh, I'm moving, Sergeant.
Well, that mount will chill and die of pneumonia. You don't rub them brisk and get some elbow grease behind it.
Yes, sir, Sergeant. Why you suppose he does it, Sergeant?
Who does what?
Captain Quince. Up for reveille he was, and off and riding.
Habit, maybe. It was a clean morning, had a feel to it. Riding off alone, I'd like that myself.
There's a touch of spring in there, all right. Buffalo grass as green as can be. I was down at the corral this morning, and even at low water, the old Laramie was rippling along like it had a song in it.
Harrison.
Yes, Sergeant?
You think you could manage to blanket that mount before you write your next poem?
Oh, I guess I'm holding you up.
Captain says he threw a nail. I told him I'd see the farrier got a look at it.
Right forefoot, looks like. I meant to see to it.
I got business at the saddlery anyway.
Sergeant, I'd sure admire some outdoor duty today if you could arrange it.
Stable detail, sort of outdoors, Harrison. In and out.
I was thinking more like the hay yard, or lending a hand in the post garden, or like that. I'd be obliged.
Anything outdoors?
Anything at all, Sergeant.
You see up there on the bluff by the old cemetery?
I'm looking that way.
That white patch, top of the rise?
Oh, sure. I see that.
Well, now, that's a patch of wild daisies, Harrison. Anybody asks, you tell them you got my leave to go up there and pick them.
Oh, Sergeant!
It's outdoor work.
I don't aim to get myself laughed right off this post.
Be a useful service you was performing, Harrison. Officers are having a fancy ball tonight at Old Bedlam. Well, they might give a stripe or two to the trooper who saw to their decorations.
I tell you, Sergeant, I like this stable detail just fine. More I think of it, more I like it.
Glad to oblige. Anytime, Harrison.
Now, getting me 3 stripes someday, like as not, I'll mosey all over the post, too, on a fine spring day.
I could make them daisies in order, Harrison.
Why, look down there, Sergeant Gorse. Ain't that a stage coming over the bridge?
It is. Well, he's riding on a flat wheel.
Yeah, maybe that's why he's pulling into the fort this time of day.
Being the wheelwright so near the smithy and the saddlery, I'll just mosey on down there and see what's going on. Give me that lead rope, soldier.
No, here.
Get to your duty, Daisy.
Oh, yes, Sergeant.
What do you mean we'll have to put up here for the night? This is an army post. Now, Ophie, settle yourself this minute. There's nothing but men here.
Now, ma'am, there ain't a stage built that'll run on 3 wheels.
But an army post? Why, we're women.
Be that as it may, we gotta put up here. It took all I had and then some to bring us clean to the fort. Now, the wheelwright tells me he can put us on the trail by sunup, and that's the level best we can do.
I declare, I don't know what. Homer off there in Virginia City, waiting for Ophie and me?
Well, you could maybe telegraph ahead if you think your husband will worry after you.
Well, I don't know what to make of you. Of course he'll worry. Homer's bound to worry. His wife and baby girl spending the night in the middle of nowhere at an army post.
Oh, Ma.
Ophie, if you Ma me once more, I'll bang you with my umbrella.
Oh, but there's one, Ma, coming right up to us.
One what?
A soldier, Ma.
Oh, Sergeant Gorse.
Stand right behind me, Ophie.
Wheelwright says you got trouble, Clay.
Yeah, all kinds, Sergeant. Oh, meet up with Mrs. Kleinhexel. Her daughter, Miss Ophie, Sergeant Gorse.
Ma'am? Miss Ophie?
Are you in charge here, young man?
Well, no, ma'am. Not exactly.
Then I demand to be taken to whoever is. I want to telegraph Homer. I want to see with my own eyes the quarters for my daughter and me.
Homer,
and
ma'am?
That's Mr. Kleinhexel. He's in Virginia City.
Oh.
Are you listening to me, young man?
Why, yes, ma'am. I do. Clay, where are you going?
Well, I'm pretty sure that wheelwright needs a hand. I sure thank you for taking over this way, Sergeant.
Well, hey, now, Clay, you...
We've had no food since breakfast, young man. That'll have to be taken care of. Now, those carpet bags over there are ours, and they were brand new when we left Omaha. So, mind you, tend them easy. Who did you say was in charge here?
Well, I didn't say, ma'am, but offhand, I'd say you was.
Ophie, simmer down.
And I just wondered if you were in my position, what would you do, Captain?
What?
What would you do?
I'm afraid I haven't been listening, Mr. Syberts. Sorry. What would I do about what?
Would you go alone if you didn't have a young lady to escort? To the officer's ball tonight.
Oh, good Lord, I'd forgotten about that.
It's the first one since I've been here.
If you're smart, you'll get up a poker game. You could play right here in my quarters if you want.
Well, I was rather looking forward to the ball.
I'd sooner ride into an ambush.
You know, it's hard to picture in your mind a ball right here in Old Bedlam. It doesn't seem part of the West somehow.
It shouldn't be part of it. You want a cigar, Syberts?
No, thank you, sir. Captain, you don't talk like you're planning to attend this evening.
I'm not.
You sure?
Mr. Syberts, the last ball I attended was on an order. Besides, I have some work I want to do tonight. if I can get the Major's permission.
Well, I don't know, and it's your business, all right, sir, but she thinks you're going to the ball.
She?
Miss Willa. I was over at the Sutler store this morning, and Pliny, Mr. Burgess, gave me his leave to ask Miss Willa to the ball.
Well?
But she means to go with you, Captain.
I don't know why. I didn't ask her.
She seems right sure you will, though, before the day's out.
Oh?
She seems content just to wait for you.
Miss Willa's a pretty thing. She makes a mistake, though, waiting for anyone.
Captain, I wouldn't have asked her, but there aren't many single ladies to choose from.
I've got no claim on Miss Willa, Mr. Syberts, if that's what you mean.
No, it's more her claim I was thinking about. She sat on you, Captain Quince.
That's a pure waste. Who is it?
Captain Quince, Lieutenant Syberts.
Major Daggett.
Sir.
As you were, gentlemen. This isn't exactly official business.
Yes, sir.
I just looked in the ballroom on the way up. Looks like things are taking shape for tonight.
Yes, sir, they are. Mrs. Daggett and the other wives are doing a fine job with the decorations.
Well, they enjoy that sort of thing. It's time we had some festivity around here.
Yes, sir.
That what you came to tell us, Major?
I expect to see you both there, Captain Quince.
There's something I want to talk to you about, Major.
Both of you there. I don't know whether you've heard yet or not, but we have some guests on the post. Mrs. Kleinhexel from Omaha and her daughter. Their stage broke down. They'll be with us overnight.
The daughter, sir.
What about her, Mr. Syberts?
Well, sir, in the interest of showing Fort Laramie's hospitality, what I mean is, if she's not otherwise engaged, I'd be proud to see her to the ball tonight.
I think that's a good idea, Syberts.
I would like to discuss something, Major.
Yeah, so would I, Captain Quince.
Then if you'll excuse me, Major, Captain.
Mr. Syberts, you'll find the young lady and her mother quartered next to the sutler's store.
Yes, sir.
Well, Lee?
If we can forget that pink tea a while, Major.
I told you, Lee, I expect you at that ball tonight. This is no mere whim of mine, and if I have to order you to be there, I will.
We're not going to see eye to eye on that ever.
You understand all about troop morale in the field. I never knew an officer to show greater concern for his men. But I think you owe something to your fellow officers, Captain.
What do you mean?
There's such a thing as post-morale, too. The junior officers admire you, they respect you. It'll mean something to them to see you share in their off-duty entertainment, relaxation. You're a hard man to know, Lee.
Especially in a ball.
I wouldn't insist if I didn't think it was important.
I've been trying to tell you what I think's important ever since you came in.
All right.
Yellow Horse. He's still in the stockade.
Yes, I know that. But I can't send him to Leavenworth till I receive orders from Washington. So far, they haven't come through.
Can't you telegraph Washington?
In an emergency.
His renegade band of Sioux is still marauding.
Tell me, does this have any connection with the fact that you left the post alone before Reveille this morning?
I rode out to the reservation. Had a long talk with Eagle Wing.
I hope he understood it was unofficial, Captain.
Eagle Wing and I talked only as men interested in peace.
Well, at least he isn't a hostile. And no great friend of Yellow Horse, as I remember.
He says a few of Yellow Horse's old band have come onto the reservation in the last few weeks. That could mean trouble, Major.
A few hostiles on a reservation of 4,000? I don't think so, Captain.
I'm not talking about a Sioux uprising. I'm talking about maybe 6 hostiles thinking to set Yellow Horse free.
Eagle Wing said this?
I say it. It could happen.
Suppose it could. I don't think it's likely.
I do. This band's never had a leader like Yellow Horse. Never killed for gain or because the whites invaded his hunting grounds. He killed to kill because he loved to kill. He's their inspirational leader. They'll come after him.
All right, Lee. What is it you want?
Move Yellow Horse.
Move him?
Yeah, over to Fort Kearney. Small details, starting at dusk.
I don't like it, Lee.
He'd be that much closer to Leavenworth.
No, I can't risk it. I'm on orders to secure Yellow Horse at Fort Laramie. I'd need more reason than you give me to go against them.
Then I've said my piece, Major.
Lee, you feel pretty keenly about this. Why?
Maybe it's not important.
I asked you a question.
All right. Call it a symbol. We could have killed him when we took him. But we held something out to the Indians, a fair trial. White man's justice.
Yellow Horse was tried fairly.
And sentenced fairly. The Indians know that. Yellow Horse should pay for his killing. Legally. If an escape is arranged, even if he's killed in the attempt, he's a martyr to every red man because a white man killed him.
Sure, I don't disagree with any of that, Lee.
But your answer's still the same.
It has to be. My orders are clear. I have to respect them. I wish I could count on your understanding.
I wish I could give it to you, Major.
All right, Captain. We both had our say. Now let's forget it. I'd like you to join my party this evening.
That an invitation, sir?
That is an order, Captain.
Yes, sir.
Well, I wouldn't have believed it. It's a regular store.
Yes.
I declare, Mr. Burgess, it's the equal of anything we have in Omaha.
Oh, yes, it is. Chicago, New York, Boston. Pliny Burgess bows to no one when it comes to merchandise.
Now, this bowl of cloth. Ophie, just look at the quality.
Those threads. Pure gold, madam. Pure gold.
Why, there are no such thing.
Well, in color, I mean. Yes, pure gold.
Oh, well, yes. I see they are.
Oh, no!
Ophie, will you stop clutching me so?
Look, Ma, oh, it's another one.
Oh, my. Well, he's just another soldier, Ophie. You'd best get used to the sight of them. They're all over out here.
Afternoon to you, Captain Quince.
Miss Willow around, Pliny?
To the back. With the account books, as usual, Captain.
Thank you.
My sakes, he's a big one.
Yeah, oh, yes, he is.
Oh, now, Ophie, you stop making eyes this minute. You've been spoke for by that other one, and he's a lieutenant.
Lovely girl. Shy, but she's a lovely girl.
Miss Willa.
Well, yes. I have a good right. Hello, Lee.
Hello.
Well, come on in.
If you're busy, why, we can forget about it.
No, you'll not get off that easy. I'm not busy, and I've been expecting you.
You shouldn't wait for me, Willa. You know that.
Sit down, Lee.
Thanks.
I don't wait for you. As you say, I know better than that. I wait for Major Daggett.
How's that?
Sooner or later, he always orders you to attend the ball. And when he does, sooner or later, you decide you'd rather escort me than dance with rank and officers' wives the entire evening.
Is that the way it is?
I'm afraid so. But that's not a complaint. I'll be ready at 8.
All right.
Well, don't look so trapped, Lee. You're not, you know.
I wasn't thinking about me.
Don't worry about me, I understand. It's a lovely day. It'll be a lovely evening, Lee.
Yeah. It looks like Mr. Seibert's is going to have a lovely evening, too.
Oh, poor Ophie.
Poor Seibert's. You could have spared him that if you'd accepted him instead of waiting around for...
For Major Daggett.
Yeah. Yeah, for Major Daggett.
Good heavens, what...
Get him out of here! Get him out of here! Savages! It's not safe! Savages!
Madam, please.
Get him out!
Oh, you're perfectly safe, madam.
Me no do nothing. Walk in store, do nothing.
We'll be killed. We'll all be killed.
What's wrong out here?
Oh, Ma, I got an awful fright.
Get him out of here!
Oh, take the girl, will
you? Come along, Ophie. It's all right.
Yes, tell her it's all right, Captain. It's the engine. She's not used to the sight of him.
Captain, white woman... Bad spirit.
No white bird. She's just frightened.
White bird frightened, too. Him do nothing.
He walked in here. Big as life. That's what he did. Right in the store, mind you, like he was a
human being?
Yes. Like he was a human being.
Is that all he did?
Well, yes. But if I hadn't cried the alarm, we'd have all been massacred. That's what they do, you know.
White bird go. Come later to trade.
Well, now, you bring silver and more blankets, White Bird?
No. Trade for food. Come back later when bad spirit and white woman go.
Well, I never. You people dealing with him, trading like he was a...
He's a reservation Indian, ma'am. He's all right.
Oh, yes. I would like to look at what he has to offer, Captain.
Well, go on into the storeroom. Make your trades.
Yes, sir.
Go on. It's all right, White Bird.
Why, of course. Come on. Come on, White Bird. Come on.
And see you trade him fair, Pliny.
Oh, I'm the soul of honor, Captain.
Yeah. You, feel better, ma'am?
Well, you've done nothing to make me feel better. I see you're mighty solicitous about your savage in there. But not so much as a kind word for a frightened white woman.
Sorry, ma'am. We know White Bird. He's our friend. We've lived with him. But we've no mind to be unkind to strangers.
You mean to say that Indians have the run of this fort, young man?
Some Indians, the ones we know and trust. Ones who trust us. You'll find that in the West.
But what about all the killing? The massacres, that's all you hear in Omaha and near all you read. How many whites the red savages have murdered. Now I say that's true or it isn't.
Some of it is, ma'am. Indians are like us. There's good and bad. We've got a bad one on the post, Yellow Horse. But he's in the stockade.
That's as it should be. You think that, don't you?
I think that.
Well, it's a pity you can't tell by looking.
Oh, you can sometimes if you know what to look for. But that comes with knowing folks, white men or red men.
At face value, it's a risky business, young man. Many's the time I've been dead wrong in judging a body on first sight, I mean. Of course, I'm talking about white folks.
You planning to live in the West, ma'am?
Virginia City. Homer's out there now. Ophie and me are going to him. Sakes, I guess I got a lot of learning ahead of me. A lot of learning.
Sergeant? Over here, Sergeant.
Oh, yes, sir.
Captain?
Finished eating, Gores?
Yes, sir. Ate plenty, too. Good thing I got no bars on my shoulders. I'd be right too stuffed to waltz tonight.
That so?
Fine spring evening for a flock of fancy waltzes, though.
All right, Sergeant, you're making your point.
Yes, sir.
You, got any plans for tonight after tattoo?
Oh, I drew some duty, Captain.
Duty?
Kind of special duty, too. Orders come down from Major Daggett to double the guard at the stockade. Well, I figured you'd know that.
No. No, I didn't.
Ain't they sending Yellow Horse on to Leavenworth before long?
That's up to Washington.
Yeah. Sure got a lot of time back there, ain't they, Captain?
Seems like it, sometimes.
You have something you wanted me to do tonight?
No. No, nothing.
Well, before I told you about the duty, you asked about my plans, Captain.
You answered my questions.
Yes, sir.
That's all, Sergeant.
If anything comes up at the stockade, I'll see you hear about it, sir.
You'll report to Major Daggett.
Yes, sir.
Good night, Gores.
Captain?
Yeah?
It's a right smart sash you're wearing.
Good night, Gores.
Yes, sir.
Been trying to get your attention for the last half hour, Lee.
Who has?
Mrs. Kleinhexel, and you haven't even asked her to dance yet either.
I know, but I...
Shh, here she comes.
Excuse me, you two, but I've got to have word to this young man. I'm sending the lieutenant to dance with you, dearie.
Captain Quince was just on his way over to you, Mrs. Kleinhexel. I'll find Lieutenant Seibert's.
Well, shall we, Captain?
Proud to, ma'am.
I could waltz with a glass of water on my head and never spill a drop. That's what Homer always says.
You try it with me, ma'am. You stand a chance of drowning.
Oh, there's good humor in you, young man. I like that.
Thank you.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wanted to tell you, I went out on the veranda for a breath of air a while back. And when I first saw them, I came near to screaming like I did this afternoon with the other Indian.
You're developing a real eye for Indians, ma'am.
Yes, I am. I've been trying to recollect, though. I don't believe he was wearing them in the store today.
White bird? Wearing what?
The feathers.
No, ma'am, he wasn't wearing feathers.
I didn't think so. Now, these Indians was. Well, maybe it suits their fancy.
You're sure they were wearing feathers?
I just told you. There was five or six, I guess.
Excuse me, and... ma'am, I have to speak to the major.
Now, what's wrong with feathers?
Major Daggett, sir! Where are those shots coming from, Captain?
That's a stockade, Major.
Seibert's! Lawson! Let's go!
Six of them. All dead, Sergeant?
Dead Injuns, Captain. Good thing you doubled the guard, Major.
What about Yellow Horse?
Oh, he was whooping for a while. But I checked him. He's got his health, all of it.
Captain.
Yes, sir?
Fall into detail. I want Yellow Horse on his way to Leavenworth no later than noon tomorrow. Any questions?
Just one, sir. What about Washington?
I'll telegraph Washington tonight. Oh, Captain.
Yes, Major.
Thank you.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper, musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Sam Edwards, Eleanor Tannen, Harry Bartell, Jack Moyles, Shirley Mitchell, Howard McNear, Frank Cady, and Jack Crucian.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Thank you. comes an emergency, it's savings that talk. When sickness strikes, in time of accident or emergency, it helps to be in good financial shape. That's why it pays and pays to invest in United States savings bonds regularly. Have the money deducted automatically through payroll savings or through your bank's bond-a-month plan. Let the bonds you've saved save you when you need money. The new 3% interest United States savings bond, better than ever. This has been a public service message from CBS Radio. Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
This fellow riding in, Morgan?
He's a stranger for sure, Abe.
That brand on his horse, I can't even read it.
Good horse, though.
Yeah.
Get down, stranger.
Who are you men?
Well, we're the Curry brothers. We own this ranch.
How far is it to Dodge?
60 mile, if you ride in a straight line.
I want some grain for my horse. Where is it?
Look, stranger, we got no grain. We're fresh out.
Now, Abe, if he wants a little grain...
Then he can act more polite about it.
Oh, ain't I been polite enough for you? Maybe I ought to change my ways just for you.
What are you, anyway? Some kid who thinks he's a man just because he's wearing a gun for the first time?
Mister, I've been wearing a gun 8 years, ever since I was 16.
That makes you 24 and still a kid that ought to be taken out to the shed.
You aim to take me out, mister?
Somebody ought to.
A lot of men have tried. I guess it's your turn now. Go ahead, you're wearing a gun.
Oh, now, we won't have any fighting. You watch your temper, Abe. The kid don't mean nothing.
The name's Tom Clegg. I ain't a kid.
All right, Clegg. Forget it. You too, Abe.
Well...
Say you're sorry, mister.
Say what?
You heard me.
Are you crazy?
Maybe this will help you. Now draw.
No, Abe.
Abe, don't move, mister.
What? You killed him. You killed my brother. Well, he hardly got his hand on his gun.
Why don't you try me?
Abe wasn't no gunfighter. Neither am I.
Then I'll tell you what. You practice a little. I'll be in Dodge for a spell. Come see me.
Oh, now, say, there is a good-looking horse, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, which one, Chester?
That big bay that young fellow just getting off of there.
Oh?
Well, ain't he?
Well, I wasn't looking at the horse, Chester.
Oh, you know that fella?
Yeah, maybe.
What are you people staring at?
Aren't you Tom Clegg?
What? Matt Dillon.
At Las Cruces about 8 years ago, wasn't it?
Exactly 8 years ago. I've changed some since then, Marshal Dillon.
Yeah, I'm a marshal. This Chester Proudfoot, Clegg.
How do you do?
Hello. Well, Marshal, I suppose you're remembering how I didn't dare draw on that fella in Las Cruces.
You were smart not to. He'd have killed you, sure.
I left there. I went out by myself. I practiced for 2 years, every day. I got pretty good with a gun, Marshal.
Did you?
That fellow's dead now. I went back and I killed him.
It wasn't much of a quarrel, Clegg.
I don't need much, Marshal. Oh, I've killed a lot of men since then. But don't you worry about me. They always draw first.
Are you telling me you've turned gunman, huh?
I've got me a pretty fair reputation in New Mexico.
And now you want to be known in Kansas. That's why you came here.
I didn't say that.
I know you're kind, Clegg. I ought to. I've killed enough of them.
Not me, Marshal. You ain't gonna kill me. I'm too fast for you and I'm too smart. I'll show you someday.
That whistling man, Bobby Haggart, really started something. Tonight, the Calypso Boys join in. Ready, amigos?
Packs more pleasure. Packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Chester.
Yes, sir, I'm coming, Mr. Dillon. What was it you wanted?
You all through out there?
Well, I'm through to one of us tries to open that back door again. I guess it won't never get fixed proper unless we just build us a new... Well, Morgan Curry.
Ah, come on in, Morgan.
Hello, Chester.
Where's Abe at?
It's about Abe. I come to see the marshal.
Is something wrong, Morgan?
Marshal, you've known me and Abe a long time.
I sure have.
Would you say I'm a man who tells lies?
You know the answer to that, Morgan.
Then I'll say it short. A fella rode up to the ranch day before yesterday, and him and Abe got into a little argument, but Abe was about willing to call it off when this fella slapped him.
And Abe went for his gun, huh?
He never had a chance, Marshal. This fella was the fastest man I ever seen.
Did he say his name, Morgan?
Tom Clegg.
Yeah, I thought so.
He's a killer, Marshal. He made Abe draw.
That's what he means about being smart.
No man can take being slapped. That ain't self-defense, Marshal, and he can't claim it is.
The law says he can, Marshal.
Look, Marshal, I ain't a coward. You know that, but there's no use my facing him. He'd kill me easy as he did Abe. Now, what good would that do?
I wish I could help you, Morgan.
Well, it ain't just me, Marshal. It's all the men he's going to kill before he's through. Somebody's got to stop him.
Somebody will. Someday.
Now, before he kills any more men. It's like poisoning a wolf. Don't you see that?
Morgan, I'm a lawman. When Tom Clegg breaks the law, I'll go after him. But until he does, there's nothing I can do.
I don't know if you're fast enough for him, Marshal. But you're the only man I do know who might be.
I'm not hired to gun men down, Morgan.
He's got to be killed.
Well, I'll admit the world would be better off without him.
You said something about his being smart.
Now, he claimed that.
And we'll see how smart he is. Marshal, Tom Clegg's going to die, no matter what. He's going to die.
You want another beer, Matt?
No, one's my limit, Kitty.
One? Oh, you're expecting trouble.
I didn't say that.
One beer said it.
You know me too well, Kitty. But you're right about my expecting trouble.
Well, I already knew about that. I've watched Morgan Curry following Clegg in and out of here for 2 days now.
I don't know what Morgan has in mind, Kitty, but I'm sure he doesn't plan to shoot Clegg in the back or anything like that.
Well, he isn't even carrying a gun.
Yeah, I know.
He just stands around at a distance and sort of keeps an eye on Clegg. It's driving him crazy.
But Morgan's not carrying a gun has made Clegg helpless to do anything about it.
Maybe he's trying to get him into a fist fight, Matt.
Ah, Clegg wouldn't fight him, Kitty. He knows he'd get torn apart.
Beats me what he's up to.
Well, I wish Morgan would go home and forget about it.
Maybe it's you he's trying to shame, Matt.
Me? What for?
For not doing anything about Clegg murdering his brother.
It wasn't murder, Kitty. Abe drew first.
The way I heard it, Clegg made him draw. And I don't care what the law calls self-defense.
Well, I have to, Kitty. I have to care.
Yeah, I know, Matt. Well, there they are.
What?
Clegg. He just went to the bar. Morgan will be along directly.
Yeah. Well, you keep an eye on him, Kitty.
Me keep an eye on him?
I gotta ride out into the country tomorrow. I'm leaving before dawn so as I can get back early in the afternoon.
Well, then you better get to bed. Good night, Matt.
I'll see you tomorrow, Kitty.
Sure.
Marshal! I want to talk to you.
I'll go ahead, Clegg. Talk.
It's about him.
What? Oh, Morgan. Hey, Morgan.
What are you calling him for?
You want me, Marshal?
Yeah. Clegg here wanted to talk to me about you, Morgan. I thought maybe you ought to hear it, too.
Sure, he can hear it. I want him to stop following me around, that's all.
Oh, why tell me that, Clegg?
Because you've got to stop him.
Me stop him? He isn't breaking any law.
He ain't wearing a gun, a dirty coward.
There's no law that a man has to wear a gun.
It's making me jumpy. I don't like being stared at all the time.
You got a guilty conscience about something, Clegg?
You shut up!
Why don't you take your gun off and shut me up, Clegg?
You hear him, Marshal? You see what a coward he is?
I can't help you, Clegg.
Lock him up, Marshal. Go on, lock him up. You heard me.
Yeah, I heard you.
Then do it.
Not very likely.
All right. You're wearing a gun. Are you a coward, too, Marshal?
Morgan, come outside. I want to talk to you.
Okay, Marshal.
You're both cowards. That's what you are, cowards.
Why didn't you kill him in there, Marshal? That was your chance.
I'm not a gunman, Morgan. I'm a lawman. Won't you ever understand that? Maybe I'm beginning to.
Look, Morgan, it's no use. I'm not going to fight Clegg. Now, you can't use the law for your own revenge. That's not what it's for. Now, why don't you forget this and go back home?
Marshal, do you think I'm a coward because I won't put on a gun and let him kill me?
I don't know what to think, Morgan. You seem to be doing all the thinking these days.
My brother Abe was murdered, Marshal. He was murdered.
I'm sorry, Morgan, but there's nothing I can do. Now, good night.
Where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your favorite easy chair? Or out driving? Oh, there you are. In the kitchen. Say, you want to make whatever you're doing more enjoyable? Have a Chesterfield. Enjoy Chesterfield's better taste and mildness. You see, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. A more perfectly packed cigarette gives you an open, easy draw that unlocks all the better taste and mildness of fine tobaccos. And Chesterfield, made by exclusive Accuray, is more perfectly packed. With an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying. Remember, to the touch, to the taste.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Buy Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Everybody, Chester. Why is the town so quiet this afternoon?
Everybody seen you riding in, I guess.
Huh?
They've been waiting for you to get back.
Waiting for me? Why?
I told them you'd be back early afternoon. There's trouble here this morning, Mr. Dillon.
You mean a shooting?
Yes, sir.
Morgan?
Yes, sir, it was Morgan.
Yeah, so he put on a gun after all, huh?
No, sir, he was unarmed.
What?
He ain't dead, though. At least not yet. He's up at dock.
Where's Clegg?
Clegg must have saw you ride in, too. He's standing across the street now, behind you there.
Ah. Well, I won't keep him waiting. I hear you shot another man, Clegg.
He deserved it.
Did he?
I warned him about following me around. It drove me half crazy.
So you stopped him?
He slapped me. No man can take that.
No, not even his brother Abe could.
Say, I plumb forgot about that.
You told me once how smart you are, Clegg. I guess you forgot about that, too.
What do you mean?
Morgan was unarmed.
You gonna try to put me in jail, Marshal?
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try.
Now you're forgetting. I also told you I'm too fast for you.
Maybe you are. I'm arresting you, Clegg.
Keep your eyes on mine, Marshal. I want to see the look in them when it hits you. That's the best part. Now?
The shots, Matt. I see Clegg still lying there.
Not if he's got any friends that can move him.
I doubt if he has. A man like that.
I guess not, Doc.
You did it the only way possible.
I was trying to arrest him, Doc. I didn't walk out there to shoot him down. How's Morgan?
with two bullets in him, he's doing as well as might be expected.
Oh, meaning what?
He's dying, Matt.
Yeah. Now, let's go see him.
Matter of fact, there's no reason at all he should have lived this long. I can't understand it. Most men would have died on the spot, shot up the way he was.
Morgan?
Marshal, I heard some shooting, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Was you in it?
I was.
And Clegg's dead, huh?
That's how you wanted it, wasn't it?
That's how I wanted it. It's what I've been hanging on for.
Morgan, you knew he'd shoot you when you slapped him, didn't you?
I had him on edge, Marshal. I planned it that way.
Yeah, I thought so. And you were willing to die just to get me to face him, huh?
There wasn't no other way. I couldn't have killed him myself.
Well, I can't say I admire your thinking. But you're sure not a coward.
He murdered my brother. He murdered me the same way. But we got him anyway. Didn't we? Didn't we,
Well, he was right. He won. Even if he had to die to do it.
Yeah. But you know something, Doc? I feel like a hangman. You made an executioner out of me. And I don't like it.
I understand that, Matt. But you'll forget it. You'll forget it. In time.
Yeah, sure. One more thing to forget.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips. Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
On the frontier, bands of marauding Indians weren't too uncommon. And next week, during an attack, three people are killed. But not by the Indians. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Sam Edwards, Vic Perrin, and John Daner. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Take a tip from the L&M people, the people who have put the pleasure back into cigarette smoking. Take the L&M Miracle Tip, the tip that lets all the flavor of superior tobaccos come rich, come clean, come easy. Once you light up an L&M, you'll understand why we say they're so good to your taste, so quick on the draw. It's the pure white miracle tip that adds so much to your enjoyment. So make today your big red letter day. Change to L&M. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.